strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in, but shall not be able. And there's many reasons why people won't be able. And it's so sad that so many people today in the Christian world are so deceiving themselves because they don't look in the mirror. They don't examine themselves. See, I'm not a pastor and I'm not a teacher. I don't believe I'm an evangelist or a prophet. Amen. But when the Lord needs someone, here I am, Lord. Use me. Amen. Pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets, right, are called by God to look out for your souls. Amen. And to help you to look out for your own souls as well, because God doesn't put the emphasis all on a pastor. God does not put an emphasis of looking out for your own soul, hallelujah, upon the minister of God, the teacher, or the evangelist, or the prophet. He puts much emphasis on us individually, amen, to look out for our own souls, amen, hallelujah. Jesus is life. Without Jesus Christ, we hath not life. Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Amen. Hallelujah. He beat death. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we will too if we stay in Christ. Even though our bodies shall die. Amen. Yet we shall live as long as we abide in Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. That's the very truth. But did you know that our original design was to have fellowship in the Garden of Eden with God without hindrance, without sin? Amen. Amen? So he's resurrected us. And it says, even though our old man had passed away, behold, all things have become new. But I believe that we are resurrected from our old design back in the garden to have fellowship with God without hindrance. Amen. Glory to God. See, what hinders us from having a real true fellowship with God is sin. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's more than just an evangelist message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how to receive eternal life. Amen. But it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So when we raise up into a new creation where the old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. We're new from what we were. Amen? Glory to God. But like I said, we were raised into this new man, this new woman in Christ based on God's original design. Does that make sense? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So if you turn with me to John chapter 6. The Word, because the Lord is the Word of God, manifested in flesh, entitles this message, The Words of Eternal Life. Amen. God gives us a roadmap to eternal life, and the Holy Bible is it. There is no other roadmap or compass, hallelujah, that points the way to eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. The opening scripture in John chapter 6, it's only one verse of scripture in 68. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Jesus hast the words of eternal life. See, in John chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. See, and Jesus doesn't lie. Amen. Glory to God. He has the word of eternal life. He is eternal life. Amen. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he left. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he died, hallelujah, on the cross, for the remission of sins, to reconcile us back to God the Father, to have fellowship with him through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the veil, hallelujah, into the most holy place where God dwells. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're talking about types and shadows of the Old Testament, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love that. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Glory to God. And then he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. But then he risen from the dead on the third day. And then he ministered to the disciples for 40 days. And at the 40th day, he ascended into heaven and sits at God's right hand. The disciples are witness of this fact. Amen. Glory to God. And then Jesus has sent the Comforter 10 days after his ascension. Glory to God. Talking about Pentecost. Amen. And ever since then, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost has been poured out unto people who repent from sinning, glory to God, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you can't receive the Holy Ghost without first repenting from sins. Amen. Glory to God. And continue to read and continue to get washed by the watering of the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the what is known as conviction of the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. And we're going to get to this point right here. Because Jesus gives us His Comforter to empower us to minister the Word of God. To remind us of the Scriptures of what to tell people. Amen? It's like I had mentioned Wednesday night, and I got so excited. A co-worker came up to me, and the Holy Ghost had prompted me to minister to him about having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Having a fellowship, you know, that maybe he's never heard before. But how many believe it that Christianity was just reading the Holy Bible, prayer, and going to church? Amen. That's normal. But those are all outward expressions. Amen? And a lot of people think they're saved there if they do these things. But no, we're not justified by works. We're justified by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. But then the works follow. Amen? Glory to God. We don't live according to the Holy Bible because we want to get saved, but because we are saved. Oh, my. And so, telling them all this and that and the other thing about having a close fellowship with God where you can hear from God by the Holy Bible. You can speak, you can hear Him audibly. That's the Holy Ghost speaking. Because why? Jesus Christ speaks to the Holy Ghost. And you're going to see this right here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. That I go away, verse 7, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And he has. Joel chapter 2 prophesies on this issue. And it's been fulfilled in the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago and continues to be filled today. Amen. What are the last days? The last days are now. What was the start of it? Jesus Christ, death, resurrection, and ascension. Because why? Without the ascension of Christ, the Holy Ghost wouldn't have come. Glory to God. So the mark of the end times is through Jesus Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. Amen? He sent the Holy Ghost down. Hallelujah. To empower us, to teach us, to train us in the Holy Ghost. Amen? To walk in the Spirit, and He shall not gratify the desires of the flesh. He's given us everything we need to live successfully as Christians, glory to God. Not just to convince people of the truth. Amen? Because how can you convince people of the truth if you don't live it? Amen? But it goes far beyond that. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It gets into real salvation. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 8, that it says, unless you are born again of water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And that is so true. You know, water baptism, what's water baptism? It's a sign of repentance. John the Baptist had ministered. Hallelujah. I baptize you in water unto repentance. But there's one coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. He's there to teach us the truth. Amen. To live the truth so we can preach the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. That's talking about seed time and harvest. You know, sowing and reaping. Watering seeds in prayer for God to get the harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's more than possible to live right and to stay right with God. Amen. Nobody has to sin in here. I don't have to sin. No way. And so many people bought into the lie, says, well, nobody can live according to the Holy Bible. Yeah, you can. Because Galatians tells us, Galatians chapter 5 tells us, walk in the Spirit and you shall not gratify or fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the Holy Ghost empowers us in this. Because why? Jesus is coming back for a victorious bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Amen. Glory to God. And so what is a victorious church? An overcoming church. Overcoming what? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's really the bottom line of it all. The Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ gives us the power to do so. But we got to choose on a daily basis to do that. Amen? We talked about this morning how we're living in the days of Elijah. You hear the song, these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. See, they're glorifying all the good things. But they fail to tell you what was going on in the days of Elijah. The altars were broken down, and when altars are broken down, sin becomes rampant. And you see that all across this nation, all across this world. We all get stuck on the good things, but we got to see the truth for what it is. That's why we got to rebuild the altars, not just in our heart, hallelujah, and not just at home, hallelujah, but also in the church, amen, glory to God. Because a church without altars is a church that's slipping away. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I mentioned this morning about that, just briefly, how I know about a church in California who removed the altars from the sanctuary, amen, and moved it into another room so where people can get right with God there. Well, to me, that seems to be that they're in shame for repentance. Repentance should never be shameful. The altar should never be shameful. Amen? Because this is one of the ways to worship God. And worshiping God is not shameful. It shouldn't be. Amen? Hallelujah. And so if they've taken the altars out of the sanctuary and put it into another room, what's to say that they're not going to take that room and make it into something else? And then where the altars are going to be? See, it's a slip. It's a slow fade. It's a slipping away. And this nation is exactly like that. That's why we see sin rampant so powerfully. And when you go out and preach the gospel, nobody cares. Nobody cares about the truth. It's like a spirit of apathy. Amen? They just think that the soul will die and will dissolve to nothing. And that everything we did on this earth, you know, amounts to nothing. And what we believe amounts to nothing. And generations are going to keep going and going and going and going without end. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. Of John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, and when he, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Amen? Verse 10, of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Talking about the devil. He's already judged. He's already defeated. Amen? Jesus made a way for everything at the cross. For us to live right and to stay right and to be victorious and powerful. Amen? Glory to God, sharper than any two-edged sword, if we're preaching the truth. Amen. Glory to God. Absolutely. And verse 12, it says, and I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Okay? He will not glorify himself. He will not speak of himself. Because why? It says, for he shall not speak of himself, but who whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Amen? Just like I'm telling you tonight, things to come. Amen? Hallelujah. Just believing is not the summation of Christianity or being saved. Amen? It's faith plus works. Faith plus good works. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because why? Just like in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26 tells us, you know, if faith not accompanied by works, can that faith save him? No. Because he continues to tell us that faith without works is dead. And so the equation is simply this, a mathematical equation. I'm sure you heard this millions of times by now. Hallelujah. That a faith plus action proves your belief in Jesus Christ. Faith plus action proves your belief in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, good. Then you would do what the Word of God tells us to do and how to follow Jesus Christ. How do we follow Jesus Christ? By being what he has shown us by example. Amen. On how to live. On how to minister. Amen. On how to just be a real Christian. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. See, it's telling us right there that Jesus speaks to the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost tells us things. When you hear me say, oh, I heard from the Lord. I heard him audibly from the Lord, and I do. But it's because of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus speaks to the Holy Ghost speaks to me. Amen. And I have fellowship with the Father and of the Son. And of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So Jesus speaks to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost gives us the words of life. He's the one that inspired holy men to write the Holy Bible. That's why we say that the Holy Bible is God-breathed, because of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God the Father, when he created Adam from the dust of the ground, and he breathed life into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Same thing with what Jesus talks about in John chapter 3. Talks about how he likened the Holy Ghost to wind. You know, the Hebrew word there is ruach. And the word ruach literally means, hallelujah, breath, wind, spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. Guess what? God breathes life into the nostrils of our heart, and we become a born-again soul. Amen. Glory to God. That makes sense. Amazing. Amen. So Jesus speaks the word of life to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost gives us life. Amen. He gives life to the message preached. Hallelujah. When it's preached right by the unction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why when you sit under a minister that are called by God and are living according to God's standards of the Holy Bible, therefore, you know, the Holy Ghost ministers to you about things as the preacher's preaching. Amen. Glory to God. And I like testimonies, say, hey, man, that was a great message. And some people tell me what they got out of that message. And I go, I didn't really preach on that. It's because it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Breathing life into the message. Confirming a word. Amen. Or confirming your situation. Or what you need to do. Or what direction you need to go. Whatever it is. Glory to God. You know, he's ultimately the overseer of our souls. Literally. But how can people believe if there's no preacher? Amen. That's what the book of Romans tells us. So the Holy Ghost breathes life into the message. Amen. Breathes life into his word. And I'm telling you that anybody can live a successful life on a daily basis, living according to the Holy Bible without fail. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you right here. Hallelujah. See, if it were not possible for the born-again Christian to live according to the holy standards of the Holy Bible, then God Most High, Jesus Christ, his Son, and of his Holy Ghost, would never have taught righteousness, holiness, and the narrow way. Amen. Jesus would never have taught, be ye perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that kind of seems deceiving. But what that means there is to mature in Jesus Christ. He's not saying to live this life perfectly, even though I believe you can. I mean, to a point, as long as you're walking in the Spirit of God. Because in order to sin, you got to walk out of the Spirit of God to sin in the flesh. If you're in the Spirit, you're not in the flesh. But if you're out of the Spirit, then you are in the flesh. Amen? Does that make sense? I don't want to lose anybody here. All right? Glory to God. See, this is possible. But it's talking about being perfect, being perfected. Amen? The sanctified walk. But Jesus is telling us right there to seek to be perfected by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And that's more than possible. Amen? To mature and grow, going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from one measure of faith to a new measure of faith. Amen? Constantly growing and maturing in Christ. Hallelujah. Because a mature person knows how to keep their vessels away from sinning. Amen. Glory to God. And that's what we strive for. So I said, be ye perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. If total repentance from sins were not possible, Jesus would never have preached the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. He said, repent and believe in the gospel. What does repent mean? Stop sinning. About as simple as that. I mean, I can philosophize it to death and give you all these different terminologies and jazz. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus says, go and sin no more. Amen. Amen. Nor would he have preached, repent or perish. According to Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. If total repentance were not possible, Jesus Christ would never have said to the sick man in John chapter 5 and an adulterous woman in John chapter 8, whom did not have the Holy Ghost, go and sin no more. If it were possible for them to go and sin no more, how much more is it possible with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not gratify or fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? Because the flesh wants to do its own thing. He gives us power to put it under subjection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. If living a godly and a holy life according to God's standards of the Holy Bible were not possible, then the Holy Ghost spoken by the Apostle Paul, or spoken through the Apostle Paul, would not have taught Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. See, oh my, I have so much to say there. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You know, notice a question mark there. Or baptized into his death? It's pretty much, I can see how, you know, how pastor looks out once in a while going, hello? That's the Holy Ghost saying that. Hello? Anyone paying attention? Don't you know? Amen. See, because why? Jesus speaks to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ministered through the Apostle Paul, giving them the anointing and the words to write. Amen. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Nor would God reveal those who will not enter heaven unless sinners repent and turn to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate. Effeminate is another word for homosexual. Amen. Nor abusers, nor of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory to God. That pretty much sums up a lot of people, don't it? Especially in this nation. And here's one of the excuses. It's like, I drink, but I don't get drunk. So I'm not a drunkard. And I'll ask the person, I said, can you live without it? From this time on, for the rest of your life, can you not drink one ounce? Amen? And if they can't answer that, they're a drunkard. It's about as simple as that. Amen? Glory to God. That's why it says, drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Neither would God preach to the masses through his prophets and the apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, because this was ministered in the Old Testament, you know, in the book of Numbers, in the book of Isaiah. Amen. Glory to God. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Separate from what? From the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. Glory to God. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Notice what he says there. He says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, the false gospel I mentioned this morning is simply this. You accept Jesus Christ as Lord. No, he must accept you. You must be acceptable unto God. We just read that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Acceptable unto God as your reasonable service. You must be acceptable unto God. And then he will receive you. And then he will be a father unto you. And he shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The false gospel says you don't have to repent in order to follow Jesus Christ or to know him. Yes, you do. Because you can't follow Jesus Christ without first, like this morning, hallelujah, without first denying yourself, picking up the cross, and following Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If total repentance were not possible, the Holy Ghost would not have ministered through the Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and I keep repeating this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Holy Ghost would never have taught in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and your feeble knees. It says, you do that. God's not going to do that for you. You know, you get excited for the things of God. You get excited to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Amen. You get excited to march around the throne a couple of times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, he puts the emphasis on us if you haven't noticed that already. Amen. And make straight paths for your feet. Straight paths for your feet. Do not go to the right or to the left. Stay on the mark. The mark is eternal life. That eternal life, it starts out broad, but it ends up narrow. Why? It's one path, but there are three levels of that path. First off, you have the path of righteousness, amen, according to Psalms chapter 23, amen, hallelujah. Then you have the highway of holiness, which is the Most High God's way. But then you have the narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few will find that. See, we start out broad, but we end up going that narrow way because Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Make straight paths for your feet. See, you do that. Amen. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. If that were not true, then Jesus Christ would never have ministered, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Amen. And I'm a firm believer, if we can get so pure in heart that we can actually see Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul did. If you read the book of Acts, there's three times that Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul, glory to God, during his missions. Amen? Because I believe he was pure in heart. And that's achievable if that's what you want. Amen? See, God gives us things to look forward to, not just heaven itself, but things on earth. Because why? This life is difficult. Not hard, it's difficult, because to a righteous man and woman and child, it's not hard, because the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the righteous is only difficult. And Jesus mentioned that. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few will find it. The word straight, hallelujah, is an old English term for difficult. Difference between hard and difficult, amen? Hallelujah. If it were not possible to live this life holy and pleasing to God as our reasonable service, then John would never have ministered the gospel this way. And 1 John chapter 3, and it tells us, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not," didn't know Jesus Christ. Amen? "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now are we the sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." And he has appeared. Hallelujah. And so therefore we shall be like him. Because why? We know by example how he lived. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Jesus Christ is pure. And we're to purify ourselves. Amen. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." See, again, that word abide, we must abide in Jesus Christ, you know, and walk in the Spirit, and will not gratify or fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? But you have to abide in Christ. Amen. To live this life successfully the way that the Apostle John through the Holy Ghost ministers. Amen. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him." Verse 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth," meaning the seed of God, "remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Amen. He's not saying he's taking away the ability to sin, because we still have that ability. Yeah. Amen. He still gives us that daily choice to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. Amen. Yeah. There will always be two choices. There's been two choices from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. I ministered this morning, glory to God. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the tree of death. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Joshua had given two choices to the children of Israel. He says, "Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve." Amen. You serve the gods of the Amorites as your fathers have served. Amen. "But me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." See, two choices. Amen. Jesus Christ gives us two choices as well. The narrow way or the broad way. Amen. One only leads to one place. The other leads to only that place. There's nothing in between. I don't know how people can get stuck in between two opinions, because I'm telling you that people who does not make a decision is still made a choice. Indecision is still a decision. Amen? If you refuse to choose right or left, you're still choosing the left automatically. The broad way that leads to eternal death. Continues to tell us right here. "In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children are of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And he continues on with that love of the brethren, you know, and provide of each other's needs, talking about the brethren. Amen. Glory to God. Because that is the manifest love of God. Amen. Well, if you notice, Jesus Christ actually preached on that issue too. Amen. Glory to God. In John chapter 3. Amen. Hallelujah. And what I mean by that, well, first Jesus talked about how to believe in the Son of God. Amen. And he also continues, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, anyone who whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He who believes in the Son of God is not condemned, but he who does not believe in the Son of God is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But here's the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light," talking about Jesus Christ and sin, "lest his deeds should be exposed." And before that, Jesus talked about
How to enter the kingdom of heaven? Being born of water and the Spirit.
Amen? Glory to God.
And in verse 12, he's talking about how we know the truth. Amen? And we testify what we have seen, but you don't believe our testimony. He's talking about relationship with God there. Amen? So what he's telling us is the roadmap to eternal life.
You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must be born again, hallelujah, by the Holy Ghost. You must live right. And you must know God. Jesus has said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. Amen. See, you know, strangers are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Strangers to Christ are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus must know you, and you must know Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. See, it's a relationship. It's a reciprocal relationship. It's not a one-way road. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, same thing here. He's telling us that we do not continue in sinning. Amen? And that we know Jesus Christ, right? And not only that, but we do the works of righteousness. It's exactly the same gospel that Jesus Christ preached, that John preached here too. You see that? If righteous and holy living were not possible, then the Holy Ghost would never have preached through the Apostle James. Amen. Talking about James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. And I've already mentioned this already. Faith without works is dead. But if you have faith, for sure you can be saved. Because it takes faith to be saved. It takes faith to know Jesus Christ. It takes faith to be justified. Because you must believe that you're justified. Amen. Glory to God. And then it takes faith to live according to the ways and patterns of the Holy Bible. And shun evil. Shun the ways of the world. Amen. Glory to God. More than possible. We can live this life because God supplied the power to do so. We just got to plug into the source. Amen. Just like an appliance. In order for an appliance to work, you must plug it into the source of power. Well, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. You must be plugged into the vine. The source of our power. Amen. Glory to God. Because we can't do nothing without Christ. Amen. We can do nothing without the scriptures. Because the scriptures are not just there to convict us of anything wrong. Not just to admonish us. Right? To correct us and so forth. But it's also to lift us up. Encourage us. And I hope this message is really that encouraging. That you can live according to the standards of the Holy Word of God. Amen? Glory to God. In closing, therefore, repent and be born again. Love God. Love your neighbor. Walk in the Spirit. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Amen. See, that's all found in the Word of God. For this is how we make our call and election sure.